thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Okay, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke's passage, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Luke 24. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for what this day represents, and we thank you for what your word represents. Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to see you today, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, please be seated. So people say that public speaking, the fear of public speaking is higher than the fear of death. Have you guys heard that? So people would rather die than speak in public, which is what I do for a living. Anyways, but death always defines, or it seems like here on earth, death defines our life. Most people expect death to have the final say, the final word. And that's how we live, most of us. It seems like we're preparing for death. We want to make sure that we have everything that we could pass on to the next generation. We want to prepare for the time when we are no longer here on earth. So death is definitely a marker. And for most people, death is the end of our story. But God has a different plan. Amen? God has a different plan for us. Here's a common scene in Israel. When you drive through, you'll see, this was actually taken from my bus in the middle of the road. You would see this, and this is a tomb. And you'll see that stone, that round stone that would close the tomb and cover the tomb. And so this is a very common tomb that you'll see in Israel. And this is the scene of today's text. So right before, if you're here on Good Friday, you heard that the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and saw how Jesus' body was laid in it. This is after the crucifixion. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So Jesus died on a Friday. The next day was Sabbath. So for the women, for the people who were following Jesus closely till the end, the disciples had all deserted, but the women, they stayed with Jesus till the end. they had some unfinished business. They had to take care of Jesus' body, but because it was a Sabbath, they could not work. So they waited a full day, and they were anxious, and they wanted to get going as soon as they could. So this is where we pick up the text. It says here, on the first day of the week. This is after the Sabbath. Very early in the morning. So very early in the morning means super early in the morning. Before the sun had come up. It's really dark. It says here, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. So they're going to the tomb and they're expecting to see Jesus' dead body there. They were faithful followers of Jesus. They are devoted. You see their devotion. So the minute they can go, they are going. And we would say that they were very courageous as well. They were the last to leave the cross, and they were the first to go to the tomb. As a matter of fact, because they left in such haste, they're not even thinking straight right now. We don't see this in Luke, but in Mark, as the women were going, they're talking to one another, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Right? Because women aren't as strong, but they haven't even thought about that. They just wanted to get to the tomb to take care of Jesus. They were expecting to go to see the dead. But they were very mistaken. We see that they found the stone rolled away. So that's surprise number one for the women. They found the stone rolled away. And then they entered. I don't know about you, but that's not the first place I want to go into where there's a dead body. But they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord. They were devoted to Jesus. They were going to the tomb expecting to see death. And yet they didn't find it. They were mistaken. They're looking for the living and the dead, and that's a big mistake, isn't it? And so while they were wondering about this, suddenly it says, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. This is an occurrence of an angel. We've seen this even in the early chapters of Luke, where when an angel of the Lord would show up, what is their response? People are afraid. And the angels would usually say, do not be afraid. And then they have a message for the people. Here, same response. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? That is such a profound question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That question was for the women who came to the tomb looking for Jesus' dead body. That same question applies to us today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? How do you apply that to us? Well, we look for life in this world. We look for life in earthly success. We want to be successful in all that we do, and we devote ourselves to that. We're looking for life in our relationships. So when our relationships don't work out, we think it's the end of the world. For us parents, sometimes we look for life in our children. And we get disappointed when our children don't do what we want to do. We look for life in comfort. Don't we work so hard to be comfortable here on earth? Our temporary home. This is a temporary place. And yet, we work hard We look for life in control. We want to be in control of all things. We want things to go my way. And when things don't go my way, then we think it's the end of the world. We're looking for life in our achievement. Right? So this question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Is that same question to us? Are you looking for living among the dead? Are you looking for living? Are you looking for significance? Are you looking for achievement? Are you looking for comfort here on earth? When we have to look to Jesus Christ himself, amen? So we need to resist the dead. And that's the first lesson here, is resist the dead. And then the angels continue. Of course, he is not here. He has risen. Don't look for Jesus among the dead. Don't look for significance among the dead. Go to the one who could give life. He is not here. He has risen. And then the angels say, remember how he told you. While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. The Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day be raised again. So this is the teaching that Jesus taught his disciples. This is the teaching that he taught his followers while he was still on earth before his death. In Luke, we see that in Luke 9:22, where Jesus talks about how he must be delivered over and how he must die, and on the third day, he will rise from the dead. So this is not new news to the followers of Jesus. And yet, when it happened, they had totally forgotten, even though they heard it. And I imagine they heard it a lot of times. And yet, they had forgotten. When it happened, they were following the patterns of the world. Death means the end. Let's prepare the body. We didn't get to do it because of Sabbath. We're going to do it on the first day, Sunday. But after the angels talked to them and said, remember, then everything clicked. Verse 8 is a pivotal verse. It says, then they remembered his word. They remembered his words. Everything changes from this moment. What was head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. And so the truth, they didn't need to learn new truth. They needed to remember the truth. That's for all of us as well. We don't need to hear the same. We don't need to hear something new from church, from the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you took all my sermons and you fed it to AI and said, summarize all of Pastor Jay's sermons for the last 20 years, AI will come back and say, he's saying the same thing every week. And that's not just my sermons. Every sermon is the same. You guys just didn't know it. It's about Christ crucified. It's about how the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. It's about the resurrection. But it's not about information. Really, God doesn't care that you know about the resurrection. It's not about information, but it's about transformation. Does his resurrection, did it transform you? Has it changed you? It's not about head knowledge, but it's about the transformation of the heart. And the transformation of the heart begins with remembering his words. Jesus said this over and over again. He spoke clearly, and yet it did not hit them. But now it does. After they saw the empty tomb. After they were taught or instructed by the angels to remember God's words, remember Jesus' words. And then once they remembered, everything clicked. So after everything clicks, after they hear about the resurrection and they experience this heart transformation, then a response is required. And let's see how the women responded. It says here that they came back from the tomb. They told these things to the 11. The 11 who had, they had no desire to go back to the tomb. They thought, that's it. I need to go find a new master. Jesus died, and all my hope died with Jesus when he died on the cross. They probably felt lost, and they didn't know what to do. So here, the women, they come and they tell the 11, the disciples, the apostles, those who spent time with Jesus intimately for 3 years, and to all the others. So you would think that the 11 who spent time with Jesus, who saw Jesus do miracle work, who went to the best Bible study on earth where Jesus was teaching, that they would quickly respond to what the woman said. But they don't. And not only does Luke say the women talk to them, but he mentions them by name. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them told this to the apostles. So this validates the work that Luke did. Luke is saying, here are the women who went to the empty tomb. Here are the women who went to the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. And here are the women who told them. Why would he name the names? He named the names so you could do fact-checking. Fact-checking is not a recent thing. They were able to do fact-checking back then as well. So go talk to these folks. Or go talk to people who know them. And if they say this is not true, the Gospel of Luke will not be with us today. So it did happen. This did happen. So what is the response of the 11? Well, it says they did not believe the women. Shock. Right? They did not believe the women. Why? Because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Like word salad. What are you talking about? What? His body's not there? What? You saw angels? What does that mean? What does that mean? Notice, in today's text, verses 1 through 12, no one has seen the resurrected Jesus. The resurrected Jesus is not mentioned in Luke up to this point. Luke is a very great storyteller. And up to chapter 23, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. And then he's buried. And then we don't see Jesus. Jesus is not there. And yet, the entire text is about Jesus, isn't it? Today at the sunrise service, it was a very intimate gathering. And then we said, let's go outside and watch the sun. And I was reminded, there's no sun to see. But someone said, but the evidence of the sun is there. Why? Because it's bright outside. The evidence of Christ is everywhere. What's amazing about the women is they believed. without seeing the physical Jesus. They have not seen the resurrected body, but they heard and they remembered, and that was good enough for them. Same for us, church. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus, but His word is good enough, amen? His word and the evidence of Jesus. If it was good enough for them, and it's also good enough for us. And once God touches you, once you realize, once you respond in faith, we are called to share the good news just like the women. Once you learn about Jesus, once you experience Jesus, then we need to tell about Jesus. But I would say, this is an unofficial study of mine, that above the fear of public speaking is the fear of sharing Jesus. We are so afraid when we hear that word evangelism. Anyone here agree or disagree? Do you guys agree? Are you afraid of evangelism or not? No? No. Good. Good for you. But a lot of people are. Why is that? Why are we so afraid to share who Jesus is? I see lots of churches have no problem taking care of the poor and the needy. If there's a need, people will show up. But if there's a need to share the good news of Jesus, they call me, Pastor Jay. Let me introduce you to Mr. John Doe. He needs to hear about Jesus. It's like, why can't you share the good news of Jesus? Who shares the good news here? Women. They were the margin of society, and yet they were sharing the good news of Jesus. And who were they sharing it to? They went to the people who spent time with Jesus the most. They were not afraid. They didn't say, oh, John, Peter, the disciples, the apostles, they already know this. They did not assume. And that's the same for us as well. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard where elders become believers at elder meetings. Think about that. Why? Because we're looking for the living among the dead. So a lot of times elder candidates are who are successful in the business world. You're great here in the business world. You must be a great leader. Let's make you an elder. Sure. But that's how God works sometimes. Elders becoming Christians. It's not uncommon. So don't assume that just because someone's been attending church their whole life, that they know Jesus, that they understand the good news. We need to share the good news, just as these women did. And when you do, they may receive your words as nonsense. And that's okay. I would say a lot of times we don't want to share the gospel because we don't want to be rejected. The fear of rejection is what's driving us to not share. But let me tell you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the good news. And just because they're rejecting the good news today doesn't mean forever. We need to hold on to that promise, church. Look over here. Look what Peter does. It says here, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, even though they didn't believe them. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is where it ends today. So even though Peter spent 3 years with Jesus, and some would argue that Peter was part of the inner circle of Jesus, Jesus' disciples. So he spent intimate time with Jesus. And even though He heard the teachings of Jesus over and over again. When it came down to his crucifixion, what does Peter do? He denies Jesus 3 times. That means he may have understood here, but he didn't get it here. And then the women came and told Peter and others about the empty tomb, about Jesus being alive. He still didn't know. He still doubted. And even though he himself had to see the empty tomb, and he did, the text here says he was still wondering to himself what had happened. So there are all these different responses to the gospel. There are those who are going to flatly reject and deny everything. There are some who are going to be curious, just like Peter is curious here. Curious about the gospel. Curious about the resurrection. And then there are those who are going to believe. And we see that here in the Bible. And we see that in our churches too, on Easter Sunday. Some of us are here, we're super excited, and waiting for me to say, "He is risen. He is risen. He is risen." For all of us who are shouting out, "He is risen indeed," we are here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Right? But then there are also some of us here who are dragged here because it's Easter and I want to make mom and dad happy and we're going to go out to eat afterwards. But really, the message is for you. If you are doubting this, that's okay. If you're curious, if you're still investigating, "I haven't really figured this whole thing out," that's okay. Just stay there. And wait for God to speak to you, because you will hear. There is going to be one day where everything that you hear just clicks down in your heart. And I can't make that happen. Your parents can't make that happen. But the Holy Spirit will work in you. And that's going to happen in your heart. And that's the power of resurrection, the transforming power. And my prayer is that you experience this. I don't need you to walk away knowing up here that Jesus rises from the dead. That doesn't save you. But knowing him as your Lord and Savior. Look for the living among Jesus. Go to Jesus and be saved. So there are 3 takeaways, at least 3, from today's passage. And they all start with the letter R. Some of them is a 4-star, but I made it work. But the first R is this: resist the dead. Stop looking for the living among the dead. You can't find that here on earth. You could only find it in Jesus. Go to the one who defeated death. He is Jesus, our Lord. Second thing is to remember his word. To remember his word means that we need to listen to his word. And how do you listen to his word? Well, we have this gift called the Bible. If you don't have one, take one in the back. We have plenty of Bibles back there for you. Read God's word. And even if you don't understand, even if you disagree, let me challenge you to read, and you will remember what's written in there. And one day, it's going to make sense. And when it does, please respond in faith. So resist the dead, remember his word, and respond in faith, because he is risen. We could stop searching among the dead. And we could run to him and we could live. The resurrecting power is alive and is right here with us right now. Amen? Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me invite the worship team forward. We're going to sing a song called Resurrecting. It talks about the resurrecting power. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending us your only Son, our Lord. And Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for us. And you defeated death. And on the third day, you rose. And today we celebrate that, Lord, and we celebrate that every day. We thank you that in you there is life. We thank you that you, the resurrected King, that you are resurrecting us today. Help us to continue to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.